Try to face it all the while. Oh, just another change to make. Just another set of chains to break. Once I had hopes and I had dreams. Now all I am is on a screen. Once I had plans and aspirations. Now I'm bound at every station. Once I had hopes and I had dreams. Now I sit back and watch this dream. Just another change to make. Oh, just another change to make.
Good morning and welcome to episode 205 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Berlin, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Another week of basketball and lots of great stuff going on. We have the Olympics. We have the Under 16 European Championship, and that's really enough. There's some great games going on in the Summer Olympics. Under 16 is at the quarterfinal stage, as is also the Olympics. Going to actually jump back a little bit to the Under 18 FIBA Africa Under 18 Championship with the interview of the week with All Star 5 member Bruno Fernandes from Angola. I guess first, just because I'm have it at the top of my notes, the under 16 European Championship there, like I said, at the quarterfinal stage, had an unfortunate injury. The Serbian talent Filip Petrušev broke some bones in his foot and was. Had to basically come out after the second game. I believe it was the second game. So that didn't help the Serbs very much as they failed to get into the quarterfinals. They ended up losing to Montenegro in the round of 16. And a cool story for Montenegro now with the promotion of the two under 18, under 20 teams. That means that Montenegro next season, next summer, will be Division A in all three for the first time ever. Very happy to see that. 10 years ago, they started in the FIBA family and were in Division B in all three categories. And so now they're up. So Montenegro face a quarterfinal, tough quarterfinal matchup with Spain. And Spain have... you know, a couple of guys have really, really kind of stepped out of the shadow, stepped up, higher out more than anybody else in this tournament. One of them is Spain's 14-year-old, Usman Garuba. 2002 born, so 14, averaging 18.2 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.5 steals. Against Poland in the round of 16, a perfect 13-13, 27 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. Man, what is he going to do with the free throws? Just 1-4. Shooting 80% from the field. But just 44, not even 44% from the free throw line, an enticing talent, without a doubt. Definitely a name to watch in the future. Serbia Pekarski is the main other guy there, and he's tried to pick it up. 26 points, 14 rebounds, but just not enough other weapons. He hasn't really been shooting as much. I'm not going to talk to many guys because I want to talk about the under-16s later, next week or maybe even the week after. We'll see. but not shooting many threes, 9 in total, and making 44, has made 4 of them, so 44%, but just not as many guys, so I assume he's, just more needed down low. The other guy that I do want to mention is Luka Samanić, averaging 15.5, 10 rebounds, and almost had a triple-double with 9 blocks against Sweden in the round of 16, double overtime. I believe that was double overtime thriller with Sweden. And, just those three guys seem to be really, taking it, just taking it to another level. More than anybody else, but again, like I said, I don't want to talk too much, as I do plan on talking to somebody who went there, as we regularly do. But those are a couple of the guys. Turkey, Finland in the quarterfinals. They take on the winner of the Spain, Montenegro, Italy, Lithuania, and then Croatia, France. Olympics. I watched some of the group stage, mainly the first group of games, which was 7 o'clock in Europe, which was a decent time. Those midnight games were too tough to really watch too many of them. And then the 3:30, the late games, just forget about it. Couple of very interesting stories. USA getting tested. Let's put it that way. Tested. I think it was 10 points by Australia, and then 3 points each by France and Serbia. The rundown is pretty easy in the group. You have undefeated USA followed by Australia, France, and Serbia, Venezuela. So only victory was against China. And China, man, China, you got to go into this. They were kind of excited going into this tournament after the real exciting sort of switch of game and just this up-tempo, fun style. And then you get blown out, give up 93 points a game. And only score 63, and not a very promising Olympics for sure. And then in Group B, you have a four-way tie at 3-2, and Croatia end up on top. Spain, the unfortunate second position, and Lithuania third, and Argentina the absolute most unfortunate fourth position. Because Argentina are set up to face then the Americans in the quarterfinals, and I don't know if they're gonna really have enough firepower to really give them the test, and then the winner, the USA, if they win that game, then they face the winner of Spain and France. So we can't have a Spain-USA final. That would be earliest at the semifinal if Spain even get past France. And then the other bracket, the other side of the bracket, you have Australia-Lithuania, which is a really nice matchup, and then Croatia and Serbia. So really four interesting, real interesting matches, games and matchups. And you could see from the other side, I think anybody getting it done for the getting to the final, and Serbia and Australia will have already played the Americans. France will have played the Americans if they get another crack at them in the semifinals. This time they would have Tony Parker, you would have to imagine. So some fun stuff. Like I said, I haven't really been watching. I watched kind of the first 3 days of action, pretty closely. you know, was checking out the highlights of the second two games each of the days, but just got hunkered down with other work. I'm here in Berlin for the German press agency, helping with the Olympics and stuff like that. So I've been covering some of the other Olympics events and stuff like that, and doing late shifts, and just haven't been able to do all of it. So definitely quarterfinals. On Wednesday. Shouldn't be in a couple hours. Hopefully, I can get this out before they start. But should be an exciting day of basketball. Lithuania, Australia is the first game, followed by Spain, France, then USA, Argentina in the finale. The last quarterfinal is Serbia, Croatia, and Serbia. So. All right. I guess move over to the interview. Like I said, had a chance to had a longer chat with the alternate team member, All Star 5 team member Bruno Fernandes from the Angolan team, and talked about quite a few different things. He finished with 18 points a game, more than almost 6.5 rebounds. More than 2 assists and 1.6 blocks. Shot 62% from the field. Total 40% from 3-point range. And that was actually 10 of 25 from 3-point range. So definitely flashed. That's actually not something I asked about. But definitely flashed some big time shooting. From outside, 40%, 25 threes. That was the third highest number of threes taken by anybody for the Angolans. So the big man definitely showing a pretty good stroke. So with that, we'll pass you over to the interview and catch you on the other side.
On the show this week, Bruno Fernandes from the Angolan national team. Bruno, thanks for coming on.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Bruno, we are actually really just really less, you know, really just a few minutes, whatever, from the start of the Olympics, the Olympic basketball tournament in Rio de Janeiro. How much are you going to be watching the basketball tournament?
I'll definitely be watching it out for sure, man. I mean, I'm a basketball person, and I try not to lose any games, and whenever I can, if I don't have anything else to do, so even if I have anything which is not that important, I just can't wait to be watching basketball. And as you know, like basketball, like Olympics is like the biggest tournament in the world. Like everybody plays there, and you'll be watching the best players in the world and people that you want to be playing against someday. So I'll be definitely watching it all.
Who do you think are gonna finish with the medals?
I'll take USA for the gold.
Okay, everybody says that. So, but what about let's go with the silver and bronze. Who do you think get those?
I think two. Spain's going to take silver, and it's kind of hard for the see who's going to be in the third place, but they're all great teams. That's why like they are there. So, but yeah, I pick USA for the gold and Spain for the silver.
Yeah, so you think it's going to be a repeat again?
Are kind of complicated to see if we can get it.
Yeah. So you guys, let's put it this way: you were on the on the Angolan national team that played at the Olympic qualifying tournament in Italy. In Belgrade.
Yeah, Belgrade.
How I mean, you guys obviously with Serbia being at home, obviously they were the favorites, you know, you guys had a young team, but how disappointed are you that you're not in Rio right now? How much do you think it would have been? How great would it have been to be there in Rio right now?
I mean, it's sad. I couldn't be there now. Cause I mean, it's a dream for me to be there someday and play against the best players in the world and people that I grew up watching. So, and now we had an opportunity to be there. We had to try. We tried our hard. We did our best, but we couldn't qualify. I mean, we played against great teams, Serbia, Puerto Rico. And with a lot of great players, that being the basketball life in a high level competition for so long, and I mean, I wish we could qualify to be there now. Something was wrong; the things didn't go well for us. But I mean, if I was there at that age, at 17, 18 years old now, going to the Olympics, I mean, it would be a great experience for me. It's like nothing means a lot. Nothing means more than that for me as a basketball player. Because my age, being an Olympic qualifying tournament, and then qualify for the Olympic game, and actually being able to go there and play, just being on the Olympic Village with all the players that, like, I mean, like you just dream about. I mean. That would be a great opportunity for me, but it's all good. We're gonna keep working and try it next time.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you're still so young and you still have so much time. You guys in that first game, which was kind of really for second place, most likely behind Serbia in the group. You guys lost by 10 to Puerto Rico, and you guys had had a big comeback. To make it a little closer at the end, but you know you had guys like, you know, Carlos Arroyo and, you know, JJ Barea. You know, they both scored 18 points, and I also had 12 assists to combine. Maybe just talk about what that was experience for you. That's your first senior national team game at that level. Maybe just some of the things you learned from you know, being in that atmosphere. You know, that's soon and seeing those guys perform at such a high level.
Like I said, for me, as a young player, it's always good to be around players like that, they type of players for me, because I think just not just for myself, but just even for the team, for the whole team, being able to play against players with that type of quality that they have. Being the players that always be playing high level basketball, and now we get a chance to be on the court playing against them. Like I said, we grew up watching them play, and now you get a chance to play against them. It's always motivating for you. Just keep pushing. Just keep pushing to go 100% and do my best every game. And I mean, of course, you know, as I've been playing on the court with those guys, I'll always try to do better and better and better to make sure I feel like I can see myself playing with this guy someday. I can see myself playing with this guy play someday. So I think this type of thing for me, that's what was the biggest part for me. The biggest thing was just being able to be on the court with them. And, of course, I learned a lot. I learned a lot by playing against them, just watching them doing the things that I see on TV. And I actually get to see them doing on the court what I'm playing against them. And I'm guarding them. I'm trying to block them. I'm trying to score on them. And I mean, and I see the way that they do the thing, because most of the times just seeing on TV is not enough. So I actually got to learn how calm they are on the court, how they take care of the ball, how much they love the game. And I mean, how much they give their heart for the game, and how much they want to win, for sure, of course. Like, yeah, like I said, I could definitely learn a lot. That was a great experience for me at my age. And I mean, I'm thankful and grateful. Like, I got to be there on a type of competition like that, high level competition at my age, 17 years old. So I think, I mean, I can't really thank enough. I mean, that was an opportunity for life, and I remember those moments.
Not only playing on the court against those guys, but also playing with those guys. I mean, you look at Carlos Moraes, your veteran. You know, he's been to 6 Africa Championships, 2 World Championships. He was at the 2008 Olympics, and was also at the Olympic qualifying tournament in 2012. This is a guy that's, Angola basketball is really big in on the continent of Africa, multiple champions and everything mm-hmm. else. And he's been part of that. So, what was it like? And he was also somebody who started really young in the senior national team. What was it like for you being around him and knowing, that he's been such a leader for so long on the senior national team?
Carlos Moraes, I think for me, the biggest thing about him is just how humble he is, how much he wants to learn, and how much he wants to win. He gives his heart whenever he plays for whoever he plays. And the thing is, on the court, he doesn't care about the age, if you're youngest or oldest. I mean, all he cares is that you do your better and help the team win. Because, I mean, he always got your back, and he tells you, just do it. And, I mean, whatever, if it goes all right, I mean, you did it. You tried. And that was the biggest thing about him. And like I said, he's been in our basketball for so long, and he's like one of the persons that like we've been watching for so long. You know what I'm saying? Since youngest age, we've been practicing and playing basketball, like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and he's been on the high level competition in our country. And we are watching, we all look up to him. And so now I'm able to share locker room with him. And that's just great for me. It motivates myself to see that now if I'm playing with people that I grew up watching, that means that I've been working a lot, and all the work I've been putting is like being recognized now. So it also means a lot, not just for me, but like for everybody. And a lot of the players with my age that are not on the national team yet, sharing locker room with those people is going to definitely make them work a lot more. So they see if Bruno can make it, they can make it too. It's going to help them believe a lot more.
Let's go back a little bit to your beginnings. Growing up in Luanda, capital of the country, Angola is a basketball country. Maybe how and when did you start? How and when did you start playing basketball?
I started playing basketball when I was 9 years old, 10.
And how did that come about?
Oh, it was like I used to play soccer before I started playing basketball. So I remember one of the days I had a friend that plays basketball. And then one of the days when he just came to my house and he told me like, "Hey Bruno, let's play basketball." His name is Hernan Dominguez. He said, "Hey, let's play basketball. I play on a team, and they need more players. They told us players to look for another players like our friends. If you're interested, just come and join us." And I was like, "I don't really like basketball. I have never played before. I like soccer. I play soccer. Let me play soccer." And then he told me, "Just think about it and let me know." And he left like 2-3 days after. I was like, I don't know, but I actually feel like something tells me to try this. So I'm going to go and try it. I called him and I told him I want to try it. And he came to my house. He took me early in the morning and I went with him. I remember we got there at like 6:30 in the morning, and the practice started. Practice was 8 o'clock. So we started practice, and I was like, that was my first day that I had a contact with a basketball. So I was excited. I was nervous because I wasn't used to people seeing me playing basketball. So I was excited and not know how to play. Like, I was just like, man, I don't want to try. Man, I was like, man, this is going to be hard, man. People are going to be laughing at me. But at the same time, I was just, man, I'm going to do it and just get out of here, go to my house. And I did him the first day, and then I didn't want to go again, but he actually told me, let's go. Once you start, you're going to love it. You're going to like being there. And I was going. The first week went by, and I kept going. And then after like a month, two or three months, I was like, just fell in love with the game. And I was like, man, I don't want to stop there. I want to learn there, and I want to be good at it. So then I just kept going. That's why I am who I am today.
And you were hooked. when you started to look for, you know, like guys that you wanted, like for role models in basketball, who were some of the guys that you looked up to then?
You mean national or international?
In basketball, you know, who were some of the guys you said, okay, I like the way that this guy plays or whatever, like a role model?
That was definitely Kevin Garnett and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Who's the other one?
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Okay, LaMarcus Kevin Aldridge. Right. Yep.
Yeah, that was definitely those players. I was like, man, they play basketball. They play real basketball, and I want to be like them. I want to do what they do. So I was like, yeah, these two are the players that I love.
You played at the under 17 World Championship in 2014, and maybe take us back to that tournament. What your recollections are from there? You know, you guys had you were a very young team, even for being an under 17 team. What's that?
I said before I go to the World Cup tournament. Under 17, I played in under 16.
Yeah. You guys qualified for the under 17s. But really, the first time that many people saw you was at the under 17s. Go ahead.
I think you said when was the first time that most people saw me
on the world stage. Yeah.
Oh, that was definitely in under 18, 17. Oh, definitely under 17.
In Dubai. Yeah, exactly. Take us back to that, you know, because you guys had a really young team, even for an under 17 tournament. You know, just maybe bring us back to that that tournament. You know, you guys finished 11th. You guys did get 3 wins. You beat the hosts, you beat the Philippines, and you also beat Greece in the final game to finish 11th. Maybe take us back to that, tournament. What your biggest memories are of that tournament?
Well, I think my biggest memories for the tournament are just being able to be there, enjoying the thing. Playing against the best teams in the world, being with my teammates, with my coach, with like people that are being wrong since we started all the national team process. Wearing Angolan jersey, carrying the name on my chest once again. That was the best things that happened to me there. And the best moments for me were like just playing games. Do our best, and we do our thing. I mean, we definitely knew that, like, most people, like, people didn't believe we couldn't make it to where we went. I know we could do a lot better. I know we could be in a better position, but, I mean, we got to understand we're young, too, and we started the way we started. So, but, I mean, playing against those teams, those players, most of the players, a lot of players, that we played against this time, like a few of them are in NBA now. So those are definitely the most memorable moments for me because, I mean, playing against NBA players. And, I mean, that just makes me believe a lot more in myself. That, like, if I played against them and they are there now, why can't I make it? So that just makes me think I can definitely go. If they went and I played against them and I gave them hard moments and hard games in the NBA, so I just got to work, keep working, being humble, and I'll be there someday. So, I mean, those are the things that I can never forget, being a high-level competition like that. That was my first time being on a World Cup competition. So I was like, man, I can't ever forget it. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah,
just
you,
being
you,
able to do different.
Yeah, you mentioned NBA NBA guys, you know maybe you know Jamal Murray, who was at Kentucky, was drafted. Harry Giles, who's going to be one of the top picks next year. Josh Jackson for the Americans. Diamond Stone, Ivan Rabb, Swanigan. You also had you went up twice against Georgios Papagiannis, the big Greek guy. Who was also drafted?
Yes.
Was there one matchup that you remember the most that you really value? You know what you learned from during that time?
Sure. That was definitely the game against USA. Because I remember the game against USA was our second game, and when we got there, our first game was against Philippines and we won. Mm-hmm. And that game against Philippines, I couldn't do anything. I mean, they were so small and so fast, and we won by like 10.
Yep.
But I couldn't do anything. So any time I touched the ball, they take the ball out of my hand. And I was like, man, I can play against these people. Like, I was getting frustrated. I couldn't do what I want to do. Like, I was just like, man, I need to get a lot better. I need to keep working, because if I can't play now at that level, I can't play nowhere. And I was like, man, I got myself down a little bit. But then I got back to the hotel, we got a win, and I was like, being said right now is not going to solve anything. I just got to keep going, because we got a big game tomorrow against USA, and we all know that, like, everybody in the world knows them, and they're like, man, these guys are the best, and all this stuff. So I was like, I'm excited about the game, and I'm going to play again. And then some of the players I've been watching, I was like, I watched highlights of these people. Like Diamond Stone, Harry Giles, Jason Tatum, like Josh Jackson, and everybody, Malik Newman, Terrence Ferguson. I was like, man, I'm excited to play against all these guys. I don't care how the game goes. Like, I just want to play against them. And the day came, and we hit it. We played against them. I had a pretty good game. I helped my team a lot. And a lot of players from the U.S. team were like, man, I mean, you got future, just keep working and everything. And I was like, man, I had a pretty good game against them. I went against.
Well, there, let's go. So in the first game against Philippines, you played 9 minutes. You took 2 shots, 2 points, four rebounds, 3 fouls, just total frustration. And then against the Americans the next day, you have 12 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 blocks. So
yeah, and I was like, man, everybody been saying they've been dunking on everybody, and I was like, man, they've been dunking on everybody. I'm not everybody. I'll do my thing, and I was fine. So I was like, man, I was blocking everything that they came to, and they were like, I mean, the actual saw, man, he blocked shots. I mean, and I was like, they stopped doing this. None of them docked on me. I was really like try to go to everything and block it. And on offensive side, I was like just trying to play my game. This time I was developing my game. I couldn't do much. I was just like learning. Like I'm still learning every day, but I can say to myself today that like I'm a lot improved offensive player than I was in 2014. So I was like, going against Harry Giles, Diamond Stone, and seeing that I actually can play against these guys. Because, I mean, I was giving them a hard time. They couldn't score, they couldn't do it. And I was like, if they can't do it with me, man, that means, I mean, I did something. I've been working for something because I actually can stop these guys. Those are the guys that everybody's been talking about in the world. Everybody says they are the best, and I can actually play against them like that and do this type of thing. So this is all. I mean, that means a lot for me. That was definitely a lot, the moment that I remember most that game.
To a lot of people, you kind of vanished, just because, just not, you know, there's not a lot of information coming out of Angola as far as basketball goes, youth basketball even less. And then you popped up on the roster for Mount Verde Academy, the very successful high school program in Florida that won three championships in a row. Obviously, your teammate from these under-16s and under-17s, Silvio Souza, was there as well. Maybe take us from the under-17s and the success you had there personally. The team, you know, you like we said, you know, you did beat you know, Greece in the final game as well. You played Italy tough, but take us then from the success you had, because there's a lot of people who watch that tournament. You know, take us from the success you had there to how you got to Mount Verde.
I think the thing was just, like, I had a pretty good tournament. Like, not worrying about too many things, just playing my game and being able to help my team to do the things that we we were focused on doing. So I was just, I'm not trying to do the hardest thing, just trying to simplify my game as much as I can. And I think just that was the thing to make, and I know this type of competition, there is always a lot of people watching. So, and playing against Team USA is the thing, like, many people be watching, because, like, you're playing against the best high school players in the world, and being able to play against them and being people watching you, you do your best, you do your things, being you on the court. And that was just a thing that made me, it gave me an opportunity to be a Mount Verde team. So, I mean, I played my game, I helped my team do the things, and I tried to simplify my game as much. So I think those are the things that made me just come back home and heard that is a school interested in me, and if I'm interested, I gotta go there, check it out, and then just go there and play and get my education and play basketball. And I was like, man, I can't think twice about it. I mean, since the youngest age, I always wanted to go there, so why would I lose the opportunity now? So let me go and get my education and then keep playing basketball. So that was how everything happened.
Did you know Mount Verde, or when they contacted you, then you looked them up?
No, I hadn't. I was like, I didn't know about Mount Verde before.
Yeah. Uh-huh, okay.
And so they contacted home, and I was like, man, let me look the school up on the internet. And I was like, I started looking up, because it took like, it took a little bit of time. And this time that I was staying home, like, taking care of everything, I was just, like, going on YouTube, going on the internet, seeing how Mount Verde was. I was like, man, I mean, I had so many expectations. I was like, this school must be like that. People that is like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, sure, oh, let me just go and see it myself.
This past year, was that your first season, or were you there 1 year before that?
I was there before, but I was playing on the prep team.
On the prep team. So you only played for the main team last season?
Yeah, I only played for the main team last season.
For one season. Okay, so did you go against then Ben Simmons in his last year there? Or was it separate, the prep and the main team?
The main team and the prep team are different programs.
Okay.
It is separated, but I actually got to practice with Ben Simmons and play against him in practice.
Okay. And what was that like?
I mean, it was actually good. Like, since I got there, I always didn't hear about Ben Simmons. And I actually saw him myself, seeing him playing seen him practice, and I was like, this type of player, they always go to the gym and just to see him. I was like, I remember I like to go there and just see him shooting the ball, practicing like with a team, and I was like, man, this guy is a real deal. Now, that's not just people saying he really is, because most of the time people just say that's not what it is. But I actually went there and I watched him, and I was like, man, yeah, he was actually good. I felt good being on the court with him. Just, I mean, yeah, that was great for me.
Last year, this past season that ended in whatever it was, April, you guys went into to the national championship tournament as the three-time reigning champions. Obviously, Ben was, you know, Simmons was gone, and some of the other pieces were gone. You know, you guys had a really strong season still. How much pressure did you guys have going into that tournament, the Dick's National Championship tournament, knowing that you guys that they had won those three championships before?
I mean, I think the thing is, like, a lot of people think, like, we won three in a row, we have to win 10 more. But that's the thing that we put in our minds. We're like, we want to win, but we don't have to let people know that we want to win. We want to win. It is all in here between us. We all know want to win. We all want to do, like, what we do best, what we do better to help our team win. And, I mean, this year wasn't different. Like, we had the same coach that won two in a row. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we did the things that he asked us to do. But, I mean, the thing didn't go well for us. We had a lot of tough moments in the tournament. The thing, but we tried not to put pressure on ourselves, because when we got on the court, we were like, just to know that we are Monver and national champion a few times in a row. Like, a lot of people came out to support us. And a lot of people came up against us. So, I mean, that was the thing, was like not putting pressure on ourselves and just playing our basketball, playing as a team, which is what we do a lot, and just do the things we do better. And, I mean, this year was different. We lost against Vladimir.
Yeah, you had the target on your back, but I mean, it was the target from the guys who've won the last three, and you guys had a new team. You guys lost to La Lumiere, the Indiana team, in the semifinals. You know, obviously, there's a certain level of disappointment, but knowing that, you know, that was, you know, how do you look back on that season, you know, that ended against La Lumiere?
I mean, we had a great season. I think we had a pretty good season. We did play well. We played as a team. But, I mean, the game against Lillimer, things happen. And this is basketball, and on basketball court, anything can happen at any time. So we were just ready for on the court. We were ready to play. And nobody wants to lose. You know, nobody wants to lose, and somebody has to win. But we weren't this one of that day, so we all understand that. We just got to keep working.
Maybe talk to us a little bit about working with Coach Kevin Boyle. Obviously, you know, has been in the high school game for, you know, almost 30 years or whatever. You know, had really established a great program up in New Jersey, and worked with some really, really great players up there, and then obviously developed some great guys, has already developed some great guys at Mount Verde. You know, maybe just talk to us about what it's like to play to play for him. You know, what kind of things he does and helps you learn.
I mean, playing for Coach Boyle, like, I think that was one of the greatest things that happened to me, because I got to leave home and go to the States and play for one of the greatest coaches in high school basketball that they all know. And, I mean, when I got there, I didn't know about Coach Bo. I didn't know, like, what type of coach he was. And, like, I didn't know how much people talked about him there. And I was, like, learning by the time I was gone, as the time was going. So that was good for me to play for him. I could learn a lot from him. I got a lot better just being there and being able to work out and practice, team practice, learn a lot about the basketball. Help my basketball IQ too, and being a smart player on the court, knowing what I have to be and when I have to be on the court, and like how do I have to do the thing, how do I have to handle these myself. And I mean, being there and playing for Marvin, playing for him helped me a lot growing as a player, not just as a player, but as a person too. So that was the thing. I learned from the experience. So I had the experience I had helped me to learn a lot there. And being with this type of coach just helps you a lot more and makes the thing a lot easier.
You committed to go to SMU, Southern Methodist University. And then you just decided to decommit. I can't remember off the top of my head the timing of it. I know that Larry Brown, the legendary coach Larry Brown, decided to step down. Was that one of the reasons why you decided to go back, to go back and do a post grad year, at Mountford?
No, I mean, that wasn't the reason. When I committed, I actually wanted to go to college, and I was like, man, I graduated high school. I want to take the next step. And then right after I committed, I was like, I had a few weeks to think about it, just by myself, talk to my parents, talk to people that supported me, to like on me being there in the States, not being able to see my family, just being able to talk to them on the phone and give them all the information on the phone. And so I was like, man, I felt like a few weeks later I'm not ready to go to college. I need to do another year and just learn, just enjoy, just being able to play my game. And I was like, yeah, I actually need that time, and I'm not rushing to go to college. I know this is something that's gonna happen, so I'm just gonna take my time.
Is college is something that you still want to do though, right?
Yes, sir. I definitely want to do it.
And do you want to try to stay there longer, or are you going to try to, or are you, I mean, I assume your goal is the NBA, and are you thinking, okay, well, I mean, if it happens after 1 year, after two, after however many years, that, you know, that I feel like I'm ready for the NBA, then I'll go, or do you really think that you want to try to stay for a longer period of time? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I wouldn't say I don't want to go to the NBA, because I think all the basketball players have a dream, and the dream of playing the biggest basketball league in the world, and which is NBA. And for me, it's different. But about college, I was like, I'm not the type of player. I'm not there yet, and I wouldn't say as soon as I get there in my first year, going well or not, I'm just going to go to the NBA. For me, it all depends on how I perform, how I play, and how much better I get, and however I feel about NBA. Because, I mean, college is what decides my future. It is like the purpose, and like the, all the years of my life, they're going to give me the biggest path to be what I want to be someday. So, I mean, it all depends on how I play, and which I know I'm going to be working on my game a lot. And I'm not trying to go to college and not have a good season. I have a goal set up to myself, and I just definitely gonna go and see how the things go, and actually get a relationship with a lot of people. And as you know, just playing my game and letting things go. And whenever the time comes and I feel ready to go to the NBA, I'll definitely take a step to go to the NBA.
Just a logistical question. Would you be eligible for the NBA next season then? because you've already graduated from high school and you have the 1 year, then would you be eligible for the NBA next season?
Yes, I guess so. I think so, because I think to be eligible to be in the NBA, to play in the NBA, I have to be a year out of high school.
A year out of high school, right? Yeah. So in theory, you would be eligible for the NBA draft next year.
Yeah.
Okay. This whole journey, let's say with Mount Verde, you had Silvio there the whole time, Silvio De Souza, and you know he's really really highly regarded in the rankings, the player rankings. Knowing that you know you've been with him for so long, maybe what was that like having him around you? You know, during that whole process, you know, just, you know, having, you know, being so far away from home and, but having somebody there who, you know, who really understands you, you know, is also from Luanda and just maybe just talk about having Silvio with you the whole time.
Well, I think having Silvio there with me, like, that was the thing that helped me a lot, like, every day. Because being able to be, being there by yourself and being there with somebody's different. And I have Silvio as my little brother. And I mean, like, as you know, wherever I go, he goes. Every tournament I went with our national team, he was there. Every tournament, like, whatever goes about basketball, he's there. So, I mean, and it's been happening for so long. And now, like, we like brothers, and we are, like, here to support each other. We got each other's back. And, I mean, him being there for me helps me a lot, because most of the times when the things go wrong for you in the game or on the team and things that I'm not happy about, but, like, I have somebody to talk to and actually let somebody know how I feel, how the things should go. And you have somebody to support you, to give you support and tell you, nah, this is how you should do it. Nah, this is, I mean, this is just the thing that, like, makes it a lot more interesting for me and makes me a lot comfortable. I mean, just knowing that somebody got my back and I can count on him anytime. So it's definitely the greatest thing that has happened.
How much easier and how much easier did it make it, and also how much greater did it make it that both of you guys were at the Olympic qualifying tournament together, as the two babies, I guess, if you want to call it, you know, the two, you know, next generation guys for Angola basketball, that you were there, you guys know each other so well, and you guys both knew, you know, it's going to be really hard, but that you each had each other to push you, each other.
Well, can you say it again?
How good was it that he was there at the Olympic qualifying tournament, also to, you know, to push you, and also that you were there to push him when you needed it?
Oh, that was pretty. I mean, that was a pretty good thing. Like I said, everywhere I go, basketball wise, he's there. So until when, we don't know, but we know that someday things aren't going to go how we want it to go, and he's going to go somewhere and I'm going to go somewhere, but who knows? And it was great, man. He was there to tell me, let's go, in the moments that I was doubting myself, when he was on the court and I wasn't, and I was trying to, like, bring myself down, like, asking myself, how is he playing, and I'm not. I mean, I was just, man, he's there, he's here. If he can't play, I can't play. And, I mean, that was just, he's always good to be around him. And he pushed me to my heart and everything. I was just, man, yeah, I mean, it's always good to be, like, around him and play with him.
let's slowly get to the reason why we wanted to talk with the under 18 FIBA Africa under 18 championship. Before we get there, Angola, you know, for a long time, at the senior level was, you know, the real dominant force in Angola basketball. The under 16 championship was introduced in 2009 with the start of the under 17 championship. You know, both there and then also at the 18s, Egypt has kind of come in, especially at the youth levels, and kind of taken, you know, a pretty, you know, it's been really, really strong. And Mali has also come in and been pretty strong, at both levels as well. You were on the team, so Egypt won the first two under 16s, and you mentioned the under 16 that you played for that, and I was going to come back to it, and so we'll come back to it now. You know, knowing that, you know, Egypt had taken the first two, in 2013, you played in the final against Egypt. You know, how important was it for you guys, you know, knowing that you know that the senior team had played so strong, you know, at AfroBasket, but that Egypt was kind of dominating at the under 16s. How important was it for you then to win that title in at the under 16s in 2013, again, especially against Egypt then in the final?
How important it was?
Yeah, what kind of feeling did you have, you know, finally winning an under 16 and then beating Egypt too?
I felt a lot good. I felt good, and you know, that was my first international competition, and being there playing for my national team, and actually know that in my first international competition, I got to go to the championship game. And I got to go to the championship game and playing against the team that been winning it all for like a few years, and like a few years in a row. And we just, I mean, playing against them and beating them and have been an African champion in my first international competition was just amazing for us. It helped us a lot. That competition helped us a lot growing as a man, growing as a basketball player. We learned a lot. We actually played against great teams. I think Egypt had a great team. And because people, like in our country, people were just used to win on a senior national team. But we actually went under 16. We went and we won. And that was the thing. That was the most important thing for me, being there in my international competition, first international competition, and that level, and then we won. So that meant a lot to me.
And then this, you know, you guys, you know, you and Silvio were both. You came from the under. You came from the Olympic qualifying tournament. Angola at the under 18s. You know, there was no championship since 1988. And the last final was back in 2008. You know, Egypt, you know, had won three of the last four championships at under 18. Maybe just talk about the, you know, your thoughts. You know, you guys were in the same group, at the beginning of the tournament. So it was really set up already that you guys could meet again in the finals. So maybe just talk about this tournament, what you thought about. I mean, obviously there was you and Egypt as the main favorites, and then you could say probably Mali, Rwanda really invested a lot in this tournament for that team, and then obviously Tunisia is always a pretty solid team. Maybe your thoughts about going into this tournament as really one of the main favorites.
I think Egypt has been the most favorite in Africa in a young age for so long. And but this tournament this year was different for me because I think when we got there and I saw the teams and I saw the atmosphere there, I saw the tournament, I saw the people watching the games, and I was like, man, we can't really do it. We can't make it. because I feel like this is like something that we can't get it done. It's on our how can I say? I mean, it's on our level. We can't get it, and I was like, I saw it, and I was like, I knew that was gonna be hard because they all great teams. That's why they all there. And I mean, we can't put in the people that we play against. So it was always like, we're just gonna play, do our things, play our games, and however it ends up, it was an experience. So we got there in the game and we played. We did what we do best, and we knew playing against Egypt was gonna be hard because they are people's favorite, everybody's favorite because we win, and so. We knew that we had to do something that we do and they don't do to make, like, these people think different about us. And, I mean, I don't think, and we had a pretty good team. We had a pretty good team and everybody was looking at us. I think from day one when we started playing games, then everybody started thinking different and looking at us as a champion. And but we never said that we are champions to anybody. We just played our games. Well, but we knew on our minds, we put in our minds that we're going to play to win. And we never said anything different. We kept on playing, and we were like, we're going to win it. We know we're going to win it, but we can't do. I mean, we can't make it like people think that we are the best. We're just going to do our thing. And however people feel like, people's going to always be here, and they're going to support whoever they want to support. So then we start doing the things that we do better, and the people in Rwanda, Kigali, started because they start seeing us dunking the ball, which is something that they don't see that much in the African tournament.
Yeah.
People start dunking the ball, and we, like, doing crazy dunks. People, like, players my height, like me. I mean, I was shooting 3 points, like playing the guard a little bit, and I was like, I mean, they haven't seen it, I guess. And I was like, so people playing like that are our age and 18, so people got on our side, and then we were like, man, now we're not alone anymore. We can't do this. So we just gotta keep doing it, and then we're gonna get it. So. That was how everything happened. So we just got there and played our games, and then people got on our side because they were happy to see what we do, and we end up champions.
One of the main guys from the other team is Ahmad Khalaf, the big guy that played. You know, he's a pretty highly regarded player too for them. Maybe just talk about him. I mean, he had some, you know, foul trouble against you in the first game. But maybe just your thoughts about him and how about him as a player from Egypt.
The player, the big man from Egypt. I mean, he's a great player. It was good to being there and play against him, and I could learn a lot just by playing against him. He's a pretty good player, and. Before I played against him, the game I was watching them playing against other teams. And then I was seeing people talking about him a lot, and I knew that it was gonna be hard playing against him and everything. But I knew that at the same time we can do it, and we're gonna do it. So, when we got on the court, Egypt against Angola, everybody knew Angola as a team that we play a lot in inside, as an inside team that plays a lot inside with the big men that we had, potentially, like, too strong physically and everything. So that was going to be a hard game, and actually a good game for us. Because we had a couple, and they only had one. Because, you know, like, they had they are a high-level team. But we know in our minds that we can do a lot, and a lot. And if we help each other like we do every day, we're gonna do it. We're gonna get it done and be a champion. But him as a player, I think he's somebody who people can learn a lot from. He plays really well, and he has something on him He stays calm and cool. He never does anything to get himself in trouble. He just plays his game. He never gets against anybody. I mean, that's just the biggest thing for him. Of course, basketball, you can't stop learning in basketball world. You got to think that you're getting better each day that you play, that you're playing, you play basketball. But, yeah, I like the way he plays. He's a pretty good player. He was good to play against him.
What it means for you to and Angola to win the championship? You know, this is the first time since 1988, first time that Angola won the under 18s. What's your thought about becoming a champion?
What did you say again?
What does it mean for you to be the under 18 champion in Africa?
Oh, it means a lot to me being an under 18 champion. Like, you know, we've been working for. And when I was in the States, I was like, I can't wait to go home and play for the national team. That's the biggest and greatest opportunity I ever had. And of course, in the formation of basketball in Angola, we only play until 18 years old. And once you do 18, you're a senior player. You got to work for it to get started on the main team. So I was like, I want to finish this well. And I'm gonna do whatever I can to help the team win and be a champion. So I was like, being an African champion for me at that age and finishing this stage as a young player, that was pretty good and meant a lot for me. So it's something, and also it is something that you take for life. You take with you for life. So. The name stays there. Everybody remembers who was the champion in 2016. So it means a lot. It's great for me.
And are we going to see you next summer at the Under 19 World Championship? Are you going to come up?
Yes, sir.
First time since 2009. What do you guys want to do there?
What'd you say?
What do you want? What are your expectations? I know it's a year in advance still, but if you and De Souza are both you and Silvio are both on board, Valdir Manuel as well, maybe talk about what expectations you have for next summer.
I have big expectations for the next summer. For this tournament in Egypt, South Africa, the level of competition is going to be a lot better, and we're going to play against the best teams in the world. If we are there, that means we are one of the best teams too. The thing is just going there and play against each other, as we do play against anybody. It's just going there and having fun, enjoying the process. Playing a game of basketball, and I think we can get better. We can learn a lot, and we can improve the position that we were last time we played this type of competition. So we got great chance. I love when people don't think and don't believe we can. Because that's when we really do, we actually do, and we prove people wrong that we can. So, this is going to be great. I'm just excited about it. I still have a lot of time to work on my thing and do what I do better to come and help my national team once again. So, I'm just excited. I'm just excited.
All right, I will let you go. Thank you for so much time. I really appreciate it. Was very fun talking to you. Good luck heading back to the States. Good luck down in Mount Verde post grad, and probably making a decision as far as college goes. And then hopefully we'll see you next year and next summer in Cairo at the under 19 World Championship.
Thank you.
All right. Really, really nice chat. Was really happy. With how the interview turned out.
Also very grateful that he gave so much time. Thanks a lot. You know, if you have a chance to go back and watch some of the under 18, go back and watch that game, the final, you know, that's an impressive team, and I think that they definitely worthy of being champions. I thought that their athleticism might give the Egyptians a little bit of problems, just because you know, they're not exactly long and athletic. The Egyptians, you know, Bebu is a pretty nice, Ahmed Khalaf is a pretty nice player down low. And, I didn't know about the rest of those guys. And I think the athleticism was a little too much. All right. So with that, gonna have to let you run. I need to get going and get starting on my day here, my work day. So, just last thing, need to let you know what you're going to be listening to, and the song is called Change to Make. It's by Neurotic Wreck, and it is available on freemusicarchive.org. Go there, check out their music. Great stuff as always. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Sell out early for a job you hate, leave 10 to 6, start at 8. It's hard to keep it straight. Oh, just another change to make. Just another set of chains to break.
This is Gorgui Jang with the Senegalese national team. I'm listening, Taking a Charge.